Good morning. The text for our study this morning comes to us from Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. So he got into a boat, that being Jesus, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Fellow redeemed, have you heard? Walmart? No, Shopko. No, Target is your one-stop shop for all your shopping needs. Businesses love the idea of being a one-stop shop. After all, if they can convince you that you can combine grocery shopping, clothes shopping, electronics shopping, car shopping, all into one trip, then you'll probably be a very loyal customer of that store and go there just about every time. Now, many shops try to be a specific one-stop shop. You can think of Quick Trip for a road trip, a travel agency for an overseas trip, or Best Buy for any number of electronics. Other stores, like Walmart, Target, and Shopko, try to carry just a little bit of everything, so that way you can combine all your trips into just one. But what store can truly promise a one-stop shop experience? What if they run out of stock on an item that you have to have? Or what if you don't like their inventory? No store can truly be a one-stop shop 100% of the time, but our God is a one-stop shop all of the time. In our text, Jesus functions as the one-stop shop by delivering earthly comfort to the paralytic, dispensing spiritual reprimands to the scribes, and exclusively offering the forgiveness of sins. Lord, bless our study this morning. In our text, we're told of a paralytic, and now paralysis comes in varying degrees. Are you familiar with the terms paraplegic and quadriplegic? Paraplegics can't move anything from their waist on down, so legs are a no-go, and quadriplegics don't have the use of any of their limbs, arms or legs. We're not told what kind of paralysis this man had, but one thing we can be sure of is that it was debilitating. In today's world, being paralyzed might keep you from careers such as being a firefighter or a police officer, but there are many other careers that are wide open to you. Hospitals and pharmacies, I'm told, are particularly open to hiring someone who can empathize with their patients. Accounting, marketing, or almost any work-at-home job is a great opportunity for someone who is paralyzed. But back in Jesus' day, things were a little different. There was really only one option if you were paralyzed. Begging. Unable to perform the hard physical labors of farming or shepherding, you had to rely on the generosity of others. Jesus' miracle of healing this man surely changed his life in more ways than I can even begin to imagine. This was a big deal for this guy. From this day forward, he wouldn't have to rely on others' generosity and instead could provide for himself. Jesus gave him his independence back. Everyone there saw, and everyone who had known this paralytic beforehand would know that someone had done the miraculous to heal him. He was a walking witness to Jesus' caring nature. But the earthly comfort that Jesus gives isn't always so glaring and momentous. Think back to the first recorded miracle of Jesus. During the wedding at Cana, Jesus performed a miracle that was much less momentous. When Jesus turned the water into wine, he wasn't saving the wedding. The couple would have been married anyway. Many people at the wedding probably never even found out that it was Jesus who had performed this miracle and changed the water into wine. Much less they wouldn't realize how Mary had gone to Jesus privately and asked him for his help. When we come to the Lord for our earthly comfort, we don't need to be as open and dramatic as the paralytic's display of coming to Jesus for help. Our requests can be as private as his mother's request for more wine, or as public as the paralytic's. Either way, he has promised to listen to us, as Matthew 7:7 assures us. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. When we come before him in prayer, he wants us to bring our small concerns as well as our large concerns, so that he can take care of them all. Christ, as our one-stop shop, certainly has all the earthly comfort that we need. But more important than that, he has the spiritual reprimands that we need even more. The scribes in our text for today needed spiritual reprimand when they thought they knew more than God. They thought to themselves that, since no man can forgive sins, Jesus was making himself out to be God. And well, they were right. Jesus was implying that he was and is God. The scribes' real error came when they thought they knew more than God. They thought that Jesus was not God. Now, at first, this might seem like a sin that all of us can easily avoid. After all, we know and believe that Jesus is our Savior from sin, but not so fast. Have you ever wondered if God really loves you? Have you ever thought that God couldn't pay for one of your sins because it was so awful or wretched? If you've had these thoughts, then you've fallen into the same sin that those scribes, myself, and many others have fallen into. We've thought we knew more than God. When we have those doubting thoughts, we're doubting the promises of God, who says in John 3:16 that he loves all the world, including you and me, and in Psalm 85, verse 2, that he forgave our iniquity and sin. The scribes from our text this morning doubted that Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. If we think that we're too wretched for God's love, well, we're doing the same thing. If you've ever thought that God couldn't love you because of something you've done, then you know how quickly those thoughts form into a downward spiral. As soon as we doubt God's unconditional love for us, we start focusing on ourselves. We try to decide if we are worthy to be loved by God. We put the responsibility of being loved by God on ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, the inevitable conclusion we come to is that we're not worthy to be loved by God. And so we won't be loved by God. These sinful thoughts can feed off of each other and grow into very real monsters that sadden and depress us. So what can stop this downward spiral? What can change these monstrous thoughts? God can. God and his love can. God's love of mankind is the rock that resists our downward flowing thoughts. God is responsible for loving you. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. God wants to love you and all people, and so he does. It's not our responsibility to earn God's love. It never has been. It's our responsibility to tell others about God's love. Another time we need spiritual reprimand is when we think we know better than God. In other words, when we look at the exact same facts that God is looking at and say, "No, God, it has to be my way, not your way." Have you ever thought that God put too much on your plate to deal with? Or that you just can't get out of a situation without sinning? Well, when we think those thoughts, we're thinking that we know better than God. And they lead us to resent God because we think that he just doesn't get it. But on the contrary, God knows exactly what we go through and what we can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God doesn't drop us off in the wilderness and say, "Well, good luck finding your way back to me." No, God lays out a highway for us to follow. And that highway is filled with opportunities to witness about him, to praise him, to love him, and to stay close to him until we finally meet him. So what's the point of all these earthly hardships and spiritual trials and temptations? God allows them into our lives because he has the exclusive right to offer the forgiveness of sins. He has to keep us close because he wants us. No one else can offer the forgiveness of sins because no one else paid for them. With Jesus' act of obedience to the law and his passive sacrifice on the cross, he took the punishment of our sins. Christ bought our forgiveness and offers it to us and all people as a free gift. Just look at our text for today. The first thing that Jesus said to the paralytic was, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." There was no price tag that the man had to pay. Salvation is free. The only requirement is what God gives you and all believers when he creates faith in your hearts. No good works are required of us. What a tremendous joy that is. Jesus was letting everyone know what a tremendous joy it was when he told the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." The paralytic wasn't told to be of good cheer because he was about to be healed. No, Jesus put the emphasis on his sins being forgiven. And so just as the paralytic was full of good cheer because his sins were forgiven, so too we can be of good cheer because God did it all by forgiving our sins and by giving us the faith to believe it. When we get that forgiveness of sins from Jesus, we also inherit eternal life with him. In heaven, our earthly hardships, spiritual trials, and sins will be ended. So we'll have no need of those first two items on our shopping list. Earthly comfort and spiritual reprimand won't be needed at all. And as for the forgiveness of sins, we'll have it, and we'll never be at risk of losing it again. We can enjoy peace with God. And until then, we can be assured that God will never run out of stock on earthly blessings, have the wrong spiritual reprimands in, or quit offering the forgiveness of sins, because he is truly our one-stop shop for all of our needs. Amen. We'll close today by singing hymn 428, verses 1 and 4.